When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, the Seahawks draft is in the books. We've got minicamp, rookie minicamp starting today. Amanda will be there covering the whole thing. He does a great job covering the Seahawks for the Seattle Times. He's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Our buddy Bob Condotta is with us. How are you, Bob?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Hey, before we get into rookie minicamp and all of that, what was your, Dave and I have spent a lot of time talking about the draft. He's gone through each pick and evaluated them, and we've seen the draft grades, all that. If I asked you to give the Seahawks a draft grade, what would it be?
I think I'd put it in the B+/A- grade. I thought the first two picks made total sense and, you know, was pretty much exactly, I think everybody thought they had to get, you know, you had to get a defensive or an offensive, you had to get a guard, obviously. And you had to do, I thought attacking the defensive front seven in some way made total sense. If you're going to go best player available, I thought that was exactly where you'd want to do that, especially once all the quarterbacks were gone. Some of the picks later are a little more off the radar guys. And so I think that's where it's really going to become. How good of a grade do we give this in 2 or 3 years? Is there a fifth rounder like Reek Woolen, emerged a couple years ago, or Richard Sherman going way back? I think that's where, this draft can really kind of take that next step, assuming the top guys do what they need to do. The only hesitation in giving it a far better grade is just that they didn't have a second round pick. And so if you want to include Leonard Williams, is that, and say, say that he's part of this draft. Maybe you just give it an even better grade. But that you only had two of the top, 118 picks or whatever, obviously makes it that they're really going to have hit on those top two guys to probably make this class what it is really going to need to be.
It seems like, Bob, the two, and we talked a lot about this yesterday, the two fourth-rounders are coming under the most scrutiny. And we're talking about Barner, the tight end, and then Knight, the linebacker. What have you heard or seen about that? Is that a similar experience that you've had, that those two seem to be the two that people are kind of not so sure about, I would say?
Yeah, I mean, Knight in particular was a guy that I'm not sure a lot of people had him going that highly in the draft. The Seahawks obviously really liked him. I mean, they brought him in for a visit. They talked later about, the visit, and just kind of getting to know him was something that they, I think that helped sell them on him a little bit more. And, could they have waited and gotten him a little bit later? I think that's what some people are saying is, maybe you could have done that with him. That's another spot they needed to do something. I mean, they had to do something with their depth there. So I thought positionally that pick made total sense there to attack the inside linebacking core and add some depth there. And, the two guys who signed are just on 1 year deal. So I thought they had to do something there. And then Barner, it's just sort of a matter of guys who are perceived to be blocking tight ends don't ever have as much value as, sort of others, because it's just, the stats don't necessarily look, catch your eye necessarily. But seeing him out here, he's a big guy. We talked to him a little bit afterward, and he definitely looks the part of an NFL tight end. So, we'll see on that one. I think it's just, Michigan's offense obviously was sort of what it was. I mean, nobody in the passing game necessarily put up huge numbers, as you saw with all the J.J. McCarthy discussion, about him and that they were just so able to run the ball on everybody all the time. I think the Seahawks would tell you Barner was a big part of that, though, with his blocking and all that. But, I think it's just that blocking tight ends are always somebody, that I think it's kind of hard to know a little bit how that's going to translate to the NFL level. And that always just kind of feels like something that, it doesn't super excite people necessarily, saying you got a tight end who's kind of known for his blocking.
Yeah. Any surprise that of the seven picks, two were spent on cornerbacks, both out of Auburn? Dave and I talked about the position groups going into the draft. All right, this one, they are very shallow. This, they're very deep. Cornerback felt like it was deep. So was that surprising, or do you feel like that's kind of like a message to, Trey Brown and Mike Jackson or somebody else? How do you take those two picks?
I mean, I don't know if it's a message to those guys as much as the reality that both those guys are just on one-year deals as well. So it's a chance to, kind of add some young depth there. You know, I would say, and we saw it out here, they said it on draft day, Pritchett's going to be more of an outside guy, and James is going to be more inside. And that's what we saw here today. James looked like he was playing basically primarily the nickel, and Pritchett looked like he was playing on the right side. So they're kind of different guys, in that sense, even though they both say corner, but they're kind of two specific, positions in that way. And I think that's how they want to use them. So I don't think they necessarily saw it as just drafted two guys to do the same thing. But I do think that was a little bit of a best player available kind of thing. John Schneider said on draft day, that Pritchett really kind of wowed him with the speed and everything. Their depth is a little bit uncertain on the outside, just in terms of the long term with the contract situations and stuff like that of those guys. And then James, they just kind of saw there, and again, he kind of fits maybe in a little bit of a different role. So, on the surface, corner didn't necessarily look the biggest immediate need, but you're also, especially in the later rounds, I think you're always kind of looking just for guys who you think really could make an impact, and you're kind of drafting for down the road to draft and develop a little bit as well.
Hey, what did it look like down there, Bob? Because I think they brought in, my count, the list I'm looking at is 59 players, including, the rookie free agents that they first signed and also the drafted players. But it's quite an operation to get that many guys in there just for 3 days. But what did it look like as far as, were they practicing? Were they just doing drills? What was the...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They were out here for the whole thing probably took about 90 minutes or so. It was largely drill work, but they did do some 11-on-11 stuff and very basic, not running a lot of trick plays. I mean, everybody literally just got here yesterday. They kind of put them through physicals real fast. Guys have to sign things and things like that. They got to go through all the official process, then they have some meetings and they had been able to study some stuff ahead of time, but still, it's kind of the first time they run through anything they're doing. So it was real basic, really basic stuff. It's hard to read much out of it. And, they're not in full pads. They're not hitting or anything like that. But, yeah, it is a real operation that way. And, I think there's about 26 or 7 tryout guys, I think. You're certainly looking for somebody to kind of really raise their – kind of stand out and see if he's somebody you want to sign to a contract afterward. By my count, they have 89 guys, so they have us on their 90 man. So they have an open spot to sign somebody to if they want. You can then, typically there's some roster shuffling there. I don't know that I saw anybody, just in what little we were able to kind of see today, see if there was anybody that really stood out that way. I think the coaches are always maybe, they're not looking just for what they see out here, but also just kind of the whole thing, how fast does the guy pick up what we're teaching him, what's he like in the meeting room and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot more they look at than just what happens here on the field as well if they decide to sign one of those guys.
Hey, Bob, in terms of where they're at salary cap wise, if you pay attention to, over the cap or Spotrac or any of those, they're, a little more than $1 million, I think, to play with here, and they still have to sign their draft picks. So how do you see them accommodating that? Do you see some restructures with contracts? Do you see some guys maybe getting cut and re-signed to a different deal? How do you see them handling that?
Yeah, it could be some of both, but yeah, no, they by, over the cap has, I think it's about 1.6, but then the cap space to fit in all the draft picks is going to be about $3 million. And, technically you don't need that till they actually sign. So sometimes that's why you see signing staggered a little bit so that they get the cap in order, because the minute they sign is when you do have to account for the cap space. So, they're going to have to do some things. I don't know if they got to get rid of anybody, but yeah, there's a few contracts that, everybody sort of mentioned this. Both Michael Jackson and John Rattigan are on restricted free agent contracts that combined count for about $6 million. But none of that's guaranteed. And the Seahawks have done this often with restricted free agent guys, where they then go to them and they bring the salary and the cap hit. They go to them with a new contract, bring the salary and cap hit down to give them some bonus money, which is guaranteed money, which they for sure are going to get, on the restricted free agent thing. Those guys will only make that if they make the 53-man roster. So the Seahawks have done that a lot through the years. So that's something they could do and create a couple $1 million probably, or $1.5 million or whatever between those two guys. And then there's some veteran contracts they could do the restructure with, where you take the base salary and you turn it into bonus and you spread it out that way. And DK Metcalf is one they could do that way. There's a few others. And Metcalf, I think it's about $6.5 million you could clear up if you did that. So they've got some ability to do some things. But, you know, the thing with the restructure, obviously, is you're pushing the cap hit back. So you don't always want to have to depend on that. So, maybe they'll do it with somebody else that's a little bit less of a money than somebody who's on a significant contract like DK. But there's certainly some things like that they can do for sure. And I heard John on with you guys yesterday, and it sounds like he's got it all kind of mapped out. So he's just not going to tell anybody ahead of time. But, I know that they always have a – you know, they sort of know what they can do and when they need to do it by. And typically, you know, that stuff sort of happens over the next month or two.
Hey, Bob, what's a position that you are most curious about? And not just for the rookie camp, but just for this defense. For me, in general, you know, going into camp when they start in August. Linebacker to me, not only because of Tyrese Knight, because he does seem like kind of a hot button for people, but also just the two guys, Dodson and Baker, and that's, for me, that's the most important position. But what are you going to keep your eye on? What's most important to you?
I agree totally. For an awful long time now, they've had somebody who you knew for sure you sort of had at one of those spots, right? I mean, you can go back to like the Super Bowl year, yet basically went from Lofa and Jordan Hill to then Jordan Hill and Lofa sort of merged into Bobby and KJ. And then you had Jordan Brooks. You know, before they cut Bobby, they had Jordan Brooks out there. So you knew what you had and Jordan Brooks and what he was going to look like in the system. And then obviously you bring Bobby back and you have them both. And so, you know, this is basically the first time in like 20 years you don't have one of the three or four or five guys I just mentioned there as at least one of your inside linebackers that that's a pretty proven player you can count on. So I agree with you totally that the inside linebacker is the biggest sort of unknown to me. Terrell Dodson played real well last year, but he only has 15 career starts. So how's he going to adjust to, sort of the heightened expectations and being regarded as a full-time starter coming in and he's going to play middle linebacker to start out. So it'll be interesting there. John Snyder's a couple times, referred to Mike McDonald as the linebacker guru. And I think that's a little bit of, that's going to be more than anything, something they're really going to count on his expertise and what he's, his reputation for how he developed defenses, primarily with the Ravens and the linebackers they had there and doing the same job with the guys here. It looked like Knight today, again, it's like 20, 11 on 11 snaps we kind of see and all that, but it looked like he was playing the weak side linebacker spot. He talked afterward and talked a little bit about the way they would use him here, puts him a little bit more in coverage than he was used at UTEP. And I think that's something they like out of him, is that maybe that's a role he can do, is kind of being more of a coverage linebacker in that way. You go from Baker obviously has a pretty long track record, but otherwise, you got Dodson, who basically has, as I mentioned, about 15 career starts and really about half of a season of being kind of a full-time consecutive permanent game kind of starter. And then behind that, you've got some guys still with the Seahawks who just haven't really played a whole lot, and then a rookie in Knight. So it is going to be, that basically at the moment you'd be one injury away from throwing somebody out there who's basically never played before. Right. Counting on two guys who are brand new to the system. I would agree totally with you that I think on the entire team, offense and defense, that would be my biggest question mark as well.
Well, Bob, you wrote about a possibility as it pertains to linebacker, more specifically the Will linebacker, and that is a reunion between the Seahawks and Jamal Adams, which, as you, I'm sure, saw on social media, got a lot of action on both sides.
I mean,
Dave and I have been sort of staunch defenders of him as a football player, that people say, oh, he stinks, he's a terrible player. It's nonsense. He can't stay healthy. That's been the problem. But hypothetically, if he's healthy and he can play, you mentioned that there were reports, there were conversations between the Seahawks and Adams about a potential return. What do you know about that, and what would you think of him coming back as a Will linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely, I don't know if I'd put it, as negotiations or anything, but I think they've definitely just kept the line of communication open.
Right.
That we would be interested, especially when it gets to that time where, there's still, the door's still open for you and all of that. I think with the draft being over, you started to see it, right? Like Odell Beckham signed today and Chase Claypool and some guys like that. You're starting to see some of the veterans who, were not being signed earlier because teams wanted to get through the draft, see who they drafted, see what it all looks like, and then you sort of go attack some of the veterans who are left and fill in with the needs as you want. So I think that's sort of the situation with Jamal now. And I think Jamal is maybe getting a little antsy to want to get his future sorted out. So I know he's got a handful of teams that have talked to him as well. But the Seahawks remain one of those. Maybe the Seahawks want to see what they have in Tyrese Egg, get a good look at him out here. Maybe if they could get through a week or two of OTAs with the linebacker core that they have and see what that looks like as well. I don't know if Jamal Adams' timeline would line up the same way that way, waiting indefinitely to kind of see there. But I know Jamal's working out and I think he's pretty healthy right now, probably as healthy as he's been in a long time. So we'll see. But my understanding is, I think if the Seahawks did bring him back, I think that would pretty much be solely what they would be looking at him as a weak side linebacker. And it could be, it could be kind of in a rotation as well. I think they could do it that way where maybe, especially with his injury history, he wouldn't necessarily have to be the full-time guy out there the whole time. And he's made a lot of money in his NFL career. They wouldn't be bringing him back for a contract anywhere near what he had gotten before. So I don't know how. I mean, money is always important. So he could be content to kind of look at the fit and everything here as well and come back. So I just know neither side has closed the door on a potential reunion, but I don't know that anything is imminent, and I don't know how high of a percentage I'd say it is. But I'd say the percentage is less than zero. I mean, it's more than zero. It's more than zero.
It's less than zero.
More than zero. Sorry, I screwed that up. But yeah, I'd say the percent. It's a non-zero chance that it happens. But I don't know how high of a chance there is that it happens.
Bob, you fit right in on this show. I just tried to call the transfer portal the transformation station or something like that. So, hey, tell us, we got a chance to finally meet Mike McDonald, and seems like a pretty passionate guy, but pretty serious and kind of a little bit reserved. But what have been your impressions of him so far?
Yeah, I it's going to be impossible, right, to not compare him to Pete Carroll these first few months anyway as we go through this, just because Pete was so, 14 years of one coach. I mean, that's as long a run as a professional coach in Seattle really has ever had. And so it's going to be impossible not to kind of compare and be like, but nobody's going to be Pete Carroll and Pete had a pretty unique personality, very outgoing and gregarious in a lot of ways. McDonald is a little bit more reserved for sure, a little bit more studious and methodical. But he's got a real sort of understated sense of humor to him, which I think people will come to appreciate. And he kind of showed it today. We were talking to him and asked him about, kind of the difference in being a head coach here today versus being a defensive coordinator. And as a coordinator, was he kind of a real vocal, getting guys face kind of way? He kind of laughed and said, "What do you think?" because he understands his image already is as a guy who's maybe not super, super vocal that way. A couple of the players have kind of talked about that too, that he's pretty, he's pretty direct and to the point. Every style in coaching at all levels and in any sport can work. And obviously, if you go back and read a lot of what Baltimore Ravens players said about him, that was one of the things a lot of the guys really liked was, his communication was, there wasn't a lot of misunderstanding. He generally made his points very clearly. And the players understood what they needed to do and how they needed to do it. And it was very businesslike that way. And, McDonald uses some of the, chasing edges as one of his favorite terms, which is kind of a modern business term. I think Pete, was far more of a guy who sort of appealed to emotion. I don't know that McDonald's going to be, you'll ever read about him breaking a talk board or whatever, like he did in a meeting a few years ago. I think he'll be a little bit different that way. But it's a style that obviously is, gotten him to this point so far. So it will be interesting to see how that, how it develops here.
Hey, Bob, one other topic that came up this week is the idea of a quarterback competition. And I know they always preach competition, and that certainly was a big Pete thing, but I think that remains. So what's the reality of that actually happening between Geno and Sam Howell, and do you think it should happen?
Well, I think it'd be – I mean, competitions are sort of – the tricky thing about NFL camps, right, and especially this year with when you've got a new team and a new offensive coordinator, is you sort of have to prepare the guy who's going to be the starter and give him the starting reps. And so Geno Smith's going to get, you know, that's his role coming in. He's going to get 70 to 80% or whatever. You know, he's getting, when the starting offense is out there, typically Geno's going to be the guy with them, because that's what you've got to do, is prepare that offense to go out there and start winning games in September. So, you know, the whole open competition, just have everything be 50-50 kind of thing, that always sounds good in theory, but, you know, in the NFL, you got to prepare the guys that you're expecting to play and who you're paying to play. I mean, you're paying Geno Smith an awful lot of money this year to be your starting quarterback. So, you know, there's always competition, to the extent, certainly if Sam Howell gets out here and they just, you know, they view that he really, really deserves more of an opportunity to kind of do that or whatever. But I just don't know how practical that is, that it can really happen that way. You know, I think they go into this year, Geno's the clear starter, Sam Howell is the clear backup. If something drastic happens that requires a need to change that at all, you know, then maybe that happens. But, you know, again, I, you know, when you ask me if it should happen, I would say no from that standpoint. I think you have to prepare, especially again, with a new offense, a new offensive coordinator, you've got to get the number one offense, what you expect to be the number one offense, working together as well as you can. For, we still don't know who the first game is going to be. I think the schedule will be announced Thursday, so we'll find out then, I think, you know, who the season opener is going to be against. But that's what you got to do, is prepare, you know, the team as best to kind of start winning games right off the bat.
He is Bob Condotta. The Seattle Times does a great job covering the Seattle Seahawks for the Times. Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time with us, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
There you go. Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times. If you missed any of that conversation, it will be on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Coming up, we take a listen to some of the conversations around the building and best of the rest. That's coming up with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park, featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination, with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
All right, before we get to best of the rest, got to get some mean text rolling here. I know we're nice guys and we do such a stellar job, it's hard to say mean things about us. You really have to try to be mean.
I don't think it's that hard.
I mean, think it's impossible.
Bob's
really
very professional. I'll say that. You're speaking for yourself.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, we got this Brady Robic guy. I mean, and even Wyatt. Yeah. You can direct him at Wyatt, our board op today. I mean, yeah, there's lots going on.
He's looking like, I didn't sign up for that.
He's like, what?
Taking shots at me for what? I've done nothing.
I got nothing going on. Feel free to send a shot my way.
There we go. All right. Well, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. I know it's hard, but come up with some mean things. Just be creative. Otherwise, we're going to have to call in the professionals. We're going to have to get a professional to send in mean text to us.
Talking about Adam Ray.
That's exactly right. About. And he just spits them out right off the top of his head, as we just learned during the break there. Just very quick. Very, very quick. By the way, he's got a big show. He's been doing this Dr. Phil thing where he goes in full prosthetics. He goes through makeup for hours every time he does this. And it's blowing up. Like Dr. Phil, I've seen video of Dr. Phil talking about him.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And he's going to be doing it here at the Neptune, I think, June, what do you say, June 30th?
Yes, June 30th.
Yeah, I already bought tickets for it, but I forgot the date. But yeah, it's going to be very cool. Yeah. You should definitely check it out at the Neptune, June 30th. It's a unique show.
He just FaceTimed us, and I was telling Bob that I just look at his face and I start laughing.
I don't know if that's a compliment, Dave. Appeared,
yeah. No, he's a very handsome guy. But, he just cracks me up, man. So that, yeah, it'll be a really good show. And it seems like that the Dr. Phil thing is
it's taken off, man.
That is huge.
Yeah, it is getting some notoriety. So the Neptune, June 30th. Check it out. You won't be sorry. All right, time to take a listen to some of the conversations happening on the other shows in the building. It's Best of the Rest.
We know you love listening to us, but there are great discussions happening all over our station.
I need more Jake Bobo. I need more of them.
Because Jake Bobo is objectively fun to say.
Yeah, I'm just not good at bats.
Let's tone it down.
It's time for the Best of the Rest.
How dare you?
All right, if you're new to the program, this is where we take a listen to some of the conversations happening on the other shows and respond accordingly. Brock and Salk were talking about the Mariners in this offense, which a lot of people are. And they were talking about what the Mariners can do to improve their offense as of today.
Nice. So here are some possibilities. You can drop Julio in the order, right? You did it last year. Mm-hmm. It worked, right? At least for a little while. Maybe it relaxed him. Would I want to do this? Probably not. I don't feel that great about it. I would feel better about this move if he wasn't finding ways to help by still, you know, hitting a little bit in terms of average. He had a couple more hits yesterday, and his speed is still a huge value, and I do still want him coming up as often as possible. Mm-hmm. But it did work last year, maybe because it relaxed him or something. I don't know. It's an option, but I don't think it's one I would try yet. More regular playing time for Luke Rayleigh? Right? He thrived last season once he got more regular playing time. I don't know how much more there is without playing him against lefties too, right? I mean, maybe some at first base and try to give him a little bit more run there against especially right-handed pitching, I guess. Let Garver catch a little. You and I talked about this maybe a week ago, and of course, Zavala would have two hits yesterday. Why wouldn't he? And three hits a couple of starts before that. But, you know, if you're looking, this would be more about Garver and less about Zavala. It would be, hey, maybe just getting him in the gear, in the game, calling pitches, etc.
I don't really like any of those ideas, with all due respect to Mike.
How big of a deal is it to change somebody's, you know, position in the lineup? I mean,
it's probably unique to each guy. You know, yeah. Some guys are probably like, wherever. We've seen Cowell go up and down, and Scott does that on a regular basis with just about everybody based on how hot or cold they are.
Right.
We've seen Cowell in the 3 spot. You've seen him in the 6 spot. You've seen Mitch Haniger moving up and down. Ty France being in the 7 spot. He's in the 3 spot. Polanco's moved around. Julio's been second. He's been first. If he felt like, you know, you wanted to drop him down, they did do it before. All right. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't have a huge issue with any of it because you're not really messing with something that's not broken. It's broken. Nobody's killing it out there. So there's nobody you look at and go, well, why would you mess with him? It's all working. Well, it's not. You know, Julio is hitting for a decent average. He's not doing the damage you expect him to do. We expect it's going to happen at any time. You do want him to get as many opportunities up there as possible. So dropping him down negates that. So I probably wouldn't do that. Luke Rayleigh, I don't know, man. I don't know about, you know, getting him in there more often. I don't know if he's
has he shown you enough to think that that's like a priority or something that would change?
But now you're just talking about, hey, we're just shuffling the pieces right now.
Right.
I mean, you're not bringing in a new piece. And then Garver catching, I don't like because he's a guy who comes with injury history. You've got a backup catcher. There's no reason to he already started the season injured. you know, let's not mess with that. Yeah. Let's hope he can find his way to finding a rhythm as a DH out there. But the idea of him catching, I just don't love it. I don't love it. But I get what he's saying in that there's only so many things you can do when kind of everybody's struggling with, you know, except for Rojas, who's not your full-time guy yet as much as that would be a move I would make. Like, we've talked about that. I would make him your third baseman until he starts to struggle against yeah. lefties. If he goes in there and he's just putrid against lefties, okay, then maybe you go back to the platoon. But you know, at this point, he's your hottest hitter. Get him in there as much as you can. I don't care who it is. Whoever your hottest hitter is, I would want them in the lineup as often as possible. And maybe he's hot because he's not facing lefties. Maybe that completely changes. But let's find out. Because right now, it's not like you're taking a hot hitter out of the lineup to give him more time.
Yeah. Can I say something, though, in defense of Salk, is that, you know, it's not really working right now offensively. And yeah. Mike has, you know, some ideas, and maybe they're a little bit outlandish, or people disagree with him, but 206 says Salk literally has three of the worst takes right there. And I'm like, okay, so what's your idea?
Yeah, you know, I don't blame him. I don't think they're awful. I don't love them. But yeah. but you also don't have many options. You don't have a world beater sitting on the bench who's just ready to come in and show everybody what he can do. That person doesn't exist. What are you going to say? Let's start Haggerty every game. Well, no, that's not the answer.
Yeah,
it's just you're just shuffling the pieces you've got, hoping it'll start a fire under somebody, light a fire under somebody, I guess.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if you're Scott, you don't want to go too crazy over this. I mean, because then it's like, oh, he doesn't have confidence in us. And like, you know, most players, and unfortunately, like we talked about with the Astros, they come around.
Like, yeah.
Alvarez, there's just no way that he's hitting 172 with runners in scoring position.
He hasn't had a hit in four games. So.
Brutal. Brutal. Yeah. Same thing for Altuve, really. I mean, he's having their best year. 7 solo home runs, as C-Rodge pointed out, but runners in scoring position, he's 191. That's not going to continue.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I worry about. But, you know, as far as how it relates to the Mariners, I nothing too drastic,
yeah.
I feel like. It's on the verge of something, I feel like.
One more quickly before we get to mean text. This is from Bump and Stacy, and we brought this up with Bob Condotta. The idea that Jim Nagy presented of a possible quarterback competition here.
Oh, man. I look at the situation here in Seattle, and I think Geno has done enough to have the confidence of Schneider and maybe even Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb if they go ahead and look at the film. Here's the interesting part about this whole situation is that that's all they have. That's all Grubb and McDonald have of Geno is what they see on film. Mm-hmm. They haven't really been around him throughout the battles, throughout the week, when things are good, when things are bad. They haven't really been around him when he's preparing for a football game and check his demeanors and his preparation and how focused he is. They don't have that. All they have is film. So when you look at the quarterback situation in that sense, that's all they have in Sam Howell, too, is film. They don't have the intangibles. They don't have the preparation. They don't have that stuff. So in reality, this could really be a quarterback competition, but I don't think they're going to come out and say that. You're going to come out and have John say what he said about Geno. He's our guy until he is not. What does that mean? Going into training camp, Geno's going to be the guy. But I think that Sam Howell has enough film to look at the situation and say, he's in the mix. Sam Howell's a good quarterback. He might not be a Pro Bowl quarterback now, he might not be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done, but you look at the situation he's coming from over with the Commanders, you can say this young man grew up in a dysfunctional household and he accomplished a lot no matter what.
I like that. Grew up in a dysfunctional household. Well, it's interesting with Sam Howell. I mean, I've started to kind of really take him seriously that he might be a piece going forward. Now, I don't think it's going to be this year, but they really like him. They put a lot of draft capital into the trade.
Acquiring him, yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny, if you look at his headshot on Pro Football Reference, he kind of looks like John Belushi a little bit. His hair's all messed up and he's got the same kind of eyebrows and everything.
He's a little more together, though.
They like him a lot, you can tell. And I think they're, you know, this is one where you kind of have to keep it quiet, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be out there banging the drum for Sam Howell when you got, you know, Geno there as your starter.
All right, it's time for Mean Text. You still have a few minutes, so get them in, 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll see what you got coming up next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone on the line said they kidnapped my son.
On September 12, 1995, McKay Everett disappeared from his home in Conroe, Texas.
There was no sign of forced entry. It was just as if McKay had walked out of his own free will.
And to this day, McKay's mother, Paulette, feels that justice was never truly served. Ransom is available now. Listen at ransompodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
All right, it is that time, everybody. We do this at the end of every week. Unveil the mean things you say to us. The most creative get the airtime. That's how that works. No matter who you're taking shots at, and a lot of people not even on the show taking shots, like Mike Salk.
Yeah. We shouldn't have ran Salk's clip, I guess.
I will say in the past, he's like, yeah, they take shots at me. I don't care. He's a good sport about it. So
yeah, I was trying to like defend him.
And then you got chastised.
And then somebody gave me a hard time and I said, yeah, it felt wrong.
Well, Matt and Beaverton kicked things off with Salk's new best take. Trade DK Metcalf for an all-star third baseman.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're doing the phone booth tough thing. Dave probably uses a phone booth to make 1-800 calls, or is that Ryan Roland Smith?
Oh, I think Ryan caught one in here.
Even Ryan.
Yeah. Let's see. This is 206. It says, mean text. None of you guys work as hard as the button on Ryan Roland Smith's suit jacket. That's mean, man.
Are they saying he's out of shape?
I think they're saying that button screaming for mercy is what they're saying.
Oh, he's
I got a few that Lefko sent me from earlier in the week about you guys.
Oh, okay.
This is from the 425. Second place in Bob's MMA contest promo gets to go to the fight with Bob. First place gets to go to the fight without Bob.
I like it. That's good.
You wouldn't mind that, right?
That'd be just fine. That's why I like it.
We got some more.
Go for it.
From the 360, Dave Wyman, held together by arthritis and powered by irritation at his wife's garden tub.
Yeah, those aren't the main things in my life, but
arthritis and the garden
recently,
stuff.
Yeah, arthritis is a big part of it, but yeah, I kind of just put that out of my mind, the garden tub. Somebody else took a shot at the garden tub.
Did they?
Yeah, that was when I had the standoff at Home Depot with my wife.
So funny.
It's like, no, we're not doing it. Yes, we are. No,
we got
no.
One more from Lefko. Text 206, wouldn't have surprised me if Dave found out he got drafted 3 days later in the local paper. Phones weren't as accessible back then.
Is that from Matt Nelson?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Check
sure
the number on that.
Matt.
Yeah. He has sent them in before.
Oh, yeah. He has to have.
Yeah.
253 says, the only insult I have for Wyman is that he got tackled by a quarterback. Disgraceful.
I didn't really get tackled by him. I just ran into him.
He got in the way. He became an impediment.
Joe in Bellevue said, if radio had a draft, you two would be sitting at home on your beanbag chairs as unsigned free agents swearing at the TV about how stupid the talent evaluators are. Nice work, Joe.
Like the 509, this is another shot at Saul. Says, I know of five bad sports radio hosts. Salk is four of them.
Man, Salk is taking it on a
list. Just wearing it, man.
From the 253, this one's for you, Dave. You forgot John Madden's name? The Miller Lite guy came to mind before the video game that has been made pretty much yearly since 1988. Give me your boomer card, Dave. Hand it over.
Your boomer card.
My boomer card. I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm proud of that. The fact that I don't play Madden. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not how I learned football or any of the phrasing or anything. Remember Moyer? Somebody said I don't know football, and Moyer says Wyman doesn't play Madden.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know the fancy new terminology.
425 says, you guys are my second favorite broadcasters. Everyone else is tied for first.
Nice.
There you go.
Somebody said, 808. Did we already do the Drew Brees contract one?
No.
Because that's one that I did repeat. We had the professor on, and he said, God rest professor's soul.
But yeah.
808 said three words, Drew Brees contract. Because somebody just had just asked John about the Drew Brees contract, and I asked about the Drew Brees contract. Because I was looking up things, and I'm going, and I wasn't paying attention, but the professor loved to bring that out all the time. He never let that one go. God bless him.
I just got a text from Ryan that just says, what the hell?
Ryan Roland Smith is in shape, man. Yeah. I don't know what they're talking about, because he's cheap. Like maybe he thinks that he went to not Men's Warehouse, but Sears or something like that.
I don't know what they. Usually, if I'm making fun of somebody's button, you know, that it's working hard, it's somebody's pushing out. On
it. It'd be like my button, not Ryan Roland Smith. Come on, man. I'm going to defend our guy.
Somebody said, hey, is Salk fair game every week? Seriously. Like, they seem excited.
Yeah.
Got one from the 253. Wait, Bob Condotta is coming on? Finally, a Bob with something interesting to say.
Nice. Nicely done.
Very well done.
Troy in Yakima says, when did Paul Bunyan come to work for you, and how did his ox handle Seattle traffic? It's actually Babe the Blue Ox. And they're talking about our guy Wyatt, apparently.
Is that who they're talking about?
Paul Bunyan. Well, he's the only one.
He's got the beard.
Yeah, I'm a... If those are watching the stream, I'm quite a hairy dude.
I'm quite a hairy dude.
We got another one taking a shot at Wyatt as well from the 253. Wyatt sounds like someone who will eat their fingernails just so they don't have to vacuum the house.
Oh, that's nasty. You wouldn't do that, would you?
No, I'm clean.
Okay.
I'm just disappointed nobody took a single shot at me.
Feeling left out. Brady's feeling left out.
You guys are losers.
Here they come. Give them a minute. They're on delay. So.
That's what you needed to do. See, that's what Lefko does. He'll just call them dumb or stupid or whatever. I call them high and unemployed, but don't blame Wyman for not playing the new Madden. He's still playing. Oh, okay. Can't read that one.
He got to edit on the fly.
Yeah. I didn't read all that one. Nicely done, though.
Somebody's talking about Ryan says, I think it's just because he wears really tiny suits. he's totally in shape, but it looks like those buttons are about to burst at any moment. I agree, says TJ in the 425.
I would say that they're probably, it's probably a suit from like 12 years ago.
Just to save money.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I still fit. Yeah. Still good. I don't need to buy a new one.
I don't need a new one, Bob.
Hey, Dave.
Bob.
Dave, look at me. I'm giving you the famous signal.
Yes, the claw.
The claw.
All right. That makes sense.
All right. Is there a closing one or are we good?
I mean, if you want the closing one from the 253, I don't know who Brady is. That's my roast.
All right. Nice. There you go. There you go. All right. Every Friday that happens. Coming up, you got Mariners pregame taking on the Astros. Thanks to Bob Condotta for joining us on the show. If you missed anything, head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. It'll be right there waiting for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.